Liz, Jesus, again, welcome each one of you here this morning at this part of the service. Trust that you have come here with a desire to be taught an opportunity for us to allow God to teach us. We could just all stand and our Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning again. We are thankful this morning for your mercies this morning to us, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together and giving us this time that we can stand before the teaching of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you have already shown us. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply those things to our lives. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. I pray this morning for those that are not here, that would like to be here. We just pray, Lord, that you would keep your hand over them, that they would be blessed and encouraged this morning. Lord, we just desire to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, the title that I have chosen is Testing Hearts. And the question that I have is that, why does God test his people? And in how does he do that? And hopefully, as we walk through this message here and look at scripture, we can hopefully identify why God does that and the different things that take place. And sometimes we are in the midst of trials and think it's important for us to be able to identify what's going on. And as God's people, I think if we are, as David was, seeking to understand and seeking to be taught, we can understand what's going on. We don't always understand why, but we can understand that God is trying to teach us. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, this verse tells us, the firing pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tries the hearts. The Lord tries the hearts. He wants to see, what we're made of, who we are. Why does he want to know? So we think about tests. It's when we, place ourselves in a physical sense, we place ourselves under a test because we're trying to learn some things, and we spend time learning, and we placed ourselves under the teaching of our teacher, whatever case that is, and then the teacher gives us a test. And the reason that he does that is he wants to know what we know. He wants to know whether he has prepared us for what we came for. As I was thinking about that, I think my Andrew won't mind me sharing this, I hope. He's been doing a lot of studying, and he was preparing for a test. And it was a
It was a big test, and it was expensive. And before he went for that test, he did another test that was, I don't know what they called it, a mock test, to see if he was ready for the real test. And so the test that God brings to us is to see if we're ready to face life. Are we in a position that we willingly come under these tests, so to speak, to see whether we're ready to face life? When they come at us, when we realize we're in a test, do we embrace them? Or do we run away from them? Andrew knew that he was going to be tested and that it was going to be a long, hard test. He willingly put himself under another test to see whether or not he was ready for that. And I'd like to suggest this morning that that's the kind of God that we serve, is his heart's desire is that we would be successful. And the reason that he tests and tries our hearts is because he wants to know, he wants us to realize that we're ready, or no, we're not. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, in that passage, Jesus was teaching about repentance and forgiveness. And the apostles, as they heard Jesus teaching about that and how we're to forgive and how we're to, when repentance is given and how forgiveness is, their cry was, increase our faith. We turn to Mark chapter 9. Verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Here in this passage, a father came to Jesus for help for his son. He wanted his son to experience healing. And Jesus informed him that if he believes, that all things are possible to him. And the father's response was here with tears. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In verse 24 here, we see that. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. This father, when he realized what it took, he came to tears to the Lord and recognized his desire for belief. But he realized his struggle and he asked God to help him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, tells us there that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if we read through this chapter here, and we see, talks about faith. And in what happened where there was faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 7 there tells us, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here, we're reminded of how Noah was warned of what was going to take place. And he was told to prepare an ark. And as we go back and read that account, we see that the people made fun of Noah. And it was a big project. I forget how many years that took to fulfill that job that God told Noah to do. And in the end, he was able to save his family and all the animals that boarded with him. But if we just stop and think about that a little bit, here God told Noah what he was to do. He was to prepare for a flood that was coming, a storm. Noah, in his lifetime, I believe, had never seen rain or storms. And so he had nothing tangible to hang on to. It's like, yeah, I remember last week or last year, there was this heavy rainstorm or this hurricane that came through and it nearly took us out. There was none of that. But rather, he heard God's word speaking to him. He heard God telling him what he was to do, and he believed. He trusted, and he acted with obedience. In verse 8, we see that Abram went on a journey, not knowing where he was going, not knowing the results of that journey. How many of us like to go somewhere, like to be told to do something, and we don't know where we're going. We don't know what the results of that is going to look like. Many of us in this day and age, if we go on a longer journey, we like to not only plug it into our GPS, we like to look at the routes and see what obstacles we might face. And some of us might wing it, but if there's time on the line, we try to figure out which way we can go with the least amount of resistance. And when we have that figured out, then we're willing to go. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, here in this passage, we see the temptation of Jesus. And I think I'll read the first number of verses here. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Here we see that this wasn't God testing Jesus, but rather we see that Satan was bringing temptation before Jesus and trying to trip him up. In James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him... Maybe I'll actually start reading in verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. In testings, I believe, is what it's talking about. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Satan tempts us to try to destroy us. I believe God tests his people to see, to strengthen us. It's like when we work a muscle, that muscle gets stronger and gets more secure. And I believe that's what we see God doing to his people and to us. His desire is to strengthen us, to develop us, that to stretch us, so he knows where we are. We turn to Daniel. In the first chapter there, and we look at Nebuchadnezzar had a plan here. We look at verse 4 and 5 here. He had captives, and he had a plan for these people. In verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. His plan here was with these young men, these men that he saw as a future that could be a benefit to him, is to strip them of their identity, to put them in a 3 year of schooling, to indoctrinate them with his program. He taught them a new language. He gave them new names. And placed them in a new culture, probably a new religion, and was teaching them new habits. This is a pretty good picture of what our enemy would like to do with us. This isn't God's way of testing us, but rather I see this, the scheme of Satan, a plan to derail us. God desires to prepare us for these kinds of battles, to put us through tests and make us ready. Were these young men ready for being exposed to this kind of trial? In verse 8, we see the heart of Daniel. He was faced with these things. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel played a part in his victory here. He was well grounded. He was ready. There was something going on in Daniel's heart. He was purposefully staying true to his God, to his people. He chose, I'm going to do the right thing. The God that we serve wants to prepare us for these kinds of battles as tests come. He wants to use those for our good. Do we allow God to equip us? Or are we resisting these processes? In Psalms 105, it talks about Joseph and what was going on in his life. Verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. by the time that the job came that Joseph was to do, God had tried and tested Joseph. He was ready. God knew. Joseph knew. Do we willingly walk through the schools, the tests that God places in our lives? In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, tells us here that God withdrew from Hezekiah. Why? In order to test, to see what was really going on in his heart. We turn to Judges. Chapter 6. In verse 1 here, in Judges of chapter 6, we see that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midians 7 years. Why did God do that? Go down to verse 6. We see that finally that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So what was going on these 7 years in the children of Israel? They had walked away. They were doing their own thing. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midians 7 years. And finally, we see in verse 6 that they started crying out to God. I believe God wanted his people's attention. And he was reminding them for 7 years. And finally, we see them crying out to God. We continue reading here in this chapter. We go down to verse 16. And we see that God had given Gideon orders and told Gideon that he was going to use him to deliver his people. In verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God was telling Gideon here his job. He was telling him that he was going to be with him and that he was going to be able to do this job. He had God's promise. We continue reading in this chapter and we come to verse 37. We see that Gideon is struggling. He's struggling to trust God. And in verse 37, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And we see that God continued to show him. And then Gideon changed it, and God showed him there as well. We see Gideon struggling to trust in God. But he came to God and asked God to show him. And we see God's faithfulness in spite of Gideon's weakness in trusting. So we look at these different passages here, and we see God working in different ways. In Judges here, we see that God is trying to get his people's attention. Can we identify where we are at? What is happening in my life? I think there's three things that, as his people, that we, that can be going on, that we can, as God's people, I think God will show us. And one is, our faith is being developed. James 1 talks about the testing of your faith. Those are not easy things. It's hard things in life. But God wants to develop that. He wants to prepare us like he did Joseph. We see it in other people, in Moses. And God wants to do that in each one of your hearts and lives. Number two, something that is very possible and none of us are exempt from, is that Satan is tempting you and desiring to destroy your life. In Luke, I think Luke chapter 22 talks about sifting you as wheat. Seeing if he can just take you. And the third thing that happens is God is reminding you that you're not where you want to be, like he did in Judges, and is trying to get my attention. I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God that is this kind of God, that he desires to take our faith and to develop it, to prepare us so that we can be successful in the true test. And if we're not where we want to be, that we also serve a God that is willing to remind us. And he's going to continue to remind us as long as, I believe, as we have breath in our bodies. He desires to get our attention like he did in Judges. He wants us to turn towards him. In Acts 3:19, talks about, repent ye therefore, be covered that your sins may be blotted out. That's the kind of God that we serve. In Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 and 24, Very familiar verse. We see David's heart here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. If this is the heart that we have, that is coming forth, that is showing itself to the Lord in this way, I believe with all of my heart that God is going to reveal to us what is going on in our hearts. Why are these things coming at us? What is he trying to teach us? We often won't understand exactly what he's trying to teach, but I think we can know that he's on our side and that he has our best interest in mind and that he's preparing us, like the journey that Joseph went through. Joseph faced hard things. And he allowed God to prepare him for something. And when that task came, he was ready. He was prepared. And he was able to face that task with joy and promise and success. In closing, I would like for us to just think about the promise that we have. In John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." May God bless each one of you.